Okay, so as I was saying, we are going to take a little bit of a break this morning from our normal Perek Shira Limud, and we're going to focus a little bit on Purim. And whereas today, of course, would have lent itself beautifully to a discussion about Tanis Esther, so first of all, I believe last year, did Purim fall out the same way? Was it Thursday? So I think last year we spoke about Tanis Esther on our Wednesday class. So today, what I'd like to really try to do is focus a little bit on the Yom Tov of Purim. There's an incredible amount, of course, an incredible amount of literature regarding Yom Tov of Purim. Of course, in addition to the Megillah, but Purim is such an incredibly profound day. But I've often found that the profundity of Purim often goes unnoticed. Why? We all know why. Because Purim isn't really a day that lends itself to contemplation, introspection, soul-searching, yearning, pining. Because the truth is, it's a day of what appears to be, at least externally, much frivolity and levity. It is a day that does not really seem to be rooted in a profound and overwhelming kedusha, yet we know it's not true. How do we know it's not true? How do we know that Purim is probably one of the holiest days of the year? On a very simple level, the name of the day itself. The holiest day of the year is, we assume, Yom Kippur. But of course, even the name of the holiest day of the year derives its name. It's Yom Kippurim, meaning the holiness of Yom Kippur is modeled after Purim, which tells you an incredible and overwhelming idea. This incredible yisod that somehow, and again, if you were to look at 2 days in the Jewish calendar that would appear to be polar opposites, you would choose Purim and Yom Kippur on a variety of levels. First of all, again, Purim is all about eating and drinking. It really is. There's a mitzvah of mishteh, mitzvah of physical celebration. Yom Kippur, of course, we go ahead and Yom Kippur, we don very modest clothing. Again, not a person could dress nicely, but the idea is the kittel, the symbolism of the kittel. We really shed much externality. We're non-leather shoes. And yet, what's Purim? What do we do on Purim? Dress up, right? So meaning there is an incredible emphasis on the chitzonios, on the external display, to the point, by the way, that we're even able to bend some of the rules regarding dress that apply throughout the entire year, yet on Purim somehow some of those restrictions, some of them very significant restrictions, restrictions of morality, men wearing women's clothing, women wearing men's clothing, for some reason, this is permitted on this day. And yet these 2 days that seem to be nothing alike are clearly intertwined, which tells us that the Yom Tov of Purim possesses an incredible and overwhelming kedusha, an incredible and overwhelming holiness. And what I'd like to try to discuss a little bit this morning is one aspect of that holiness. There are multiple facets to Purim, multiple aspects to Purim. I want to draw your attention to one. So let's begin. Take a look at number one on your sheet. So this is from one of the last chapters, the second to last chapter in the Megillah. Perek Tes. The Jews won the battle. I don't want to give away the whole story, but we won, Baruch Hashem. And Mordechai and Esther go ahead and declare a Yom Tov. They declare a Yom Tov, and Mordechai goes ahead and legislates. If you take a look at the end of number one, Kayomim asher nochu behem ayhudim ayveyem, v'achodesh asher nepach lehem miyogon l'simcha, u'me'evel l'yom tov. So Mordechai says these were days that started ultimately again, that were evil, that were heart-wrenching. They turned into days of simcha. La'asos osam yemei mishteh v'simcha, to make them days of mishteh, of literally rejoicing, drinking and eating, simcha, happiness. U'mishloach manos ishlereyehu, shalach manos, right? Sending gifts of food to one another. U'matanos le'evyonim, and gifts to the poor. So there's a variety of different pieces that make up the Purim experience. There's the mishteh v'simcha. So there's the idea that we eat and we drink on Purim. There is, of course, again, part of the simcha of Purim is the recitation of the Megillah. There is matanos le'evyonim. There is the gifts to the poor. There is mishloach manos, gifts of food. So actually, in my shir last Wednesday night, we spoke about the concept of mishloach manos as rooted to the su'udah. But I want to draw your attention to this again, but albeit in a little bit of a different way. Because out of everything we do on Purim, mishloach manos seems to be the item that doesn't really fit. Matanos le'evyonim is no surprise, right? Gifts to the poor, no surprise. Why? There's always a mitzvah of tzedakah. There's always, meaning, that's a concept, meaning, remember again, what's the halacha on Yom Tov? On Yom Tov, right? Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot, there's a mitzvah, v'samachta b'chagecha. And what does the Torah say when you rejoice on Yom Tov? And don't forget who? The widow, the orphan. Meaning, anytime there's an obligation to rejoice, there is an obligation to make sure that those who may chas v'shalom be marginalized, they're on the periphery, are brought into the fold as well. So on Purim, if there's a mitzvah, mishta v'simcha, it really goes without saying that, of course, you have to take care of the poor. Mishloach manos is an interesting one. Sending gifts of food to one another on this Yom, I just want to make mention, the Megillah makes no mention of having any kind of obligation to create a theme. Right? So Baruch Hashem, I just want to point out, this is a chumrah that people have taken on in later generations, that the Mishloach Manos have to match your costumes, have to match this. I would beg you, and maybe it's too late already now for this year, please use your time and your money for better things. No one cares what your theme is. Not the people who get it, and not HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Rosh Hashanah wants you to fulfill the mitzvah, but wants you, more importantly, to use your resources from Atanos Levion, and the money that you could save on your thematic Shalach Manos. Right? You have to keep Shalach Manos. It's a mitzvah. There's absolutely no... The Rambam writes this explicitly, that it is so much better to use additional funds from Atanos Le'avyonim than it is ultimately from Mishloach Manos. You could go ahead and you can sure put together a beautiful Mishloach Manos that has a versatile theme, thematic fluidity, as they call it, right? You could use it anytime, and you save, you allow yourself to put your emphasis on what the Yom Tov is all about. In general in Yiddishkeit, this is just a commercial break, in general in Yiddishkeit, we have to be so careful not to lose the trees from the forest. The Yom Tov of Purim is not coordinating your costumes with your Mishloach Manos. Costumes are important, Mishloach Manos are important, but the need to go ahead and blend them all together and make it a whole avoda that consumes the entirety of the Yom Tov, there's something a little bit missing in that, but that's a separate discussion. In any event, so we give Mishloach Manos. If you did it already, don't feel bad. I just want to, right? It's fine. It's going to be beautiful. It's going to be great. But now I'm preparing your Meretz Hashem for next year. So this idea of Mishloach Manos, of giving gifts of food to one another, is quite interesting. Of course, again, I spoke about this in a different shir, so I don't really want to focus on this too much. On a most basic level, it's the way of ensuring that everyone goes ahead and has what they need for the Purim Suda. This is something also, another very important halachic idea, which is the foods that you include in Mishloach Manos should be Suda usable foods. Not necessarily the person who gets it is going to use it, but it should be something that a person would potentially use at their su'uda. Very important idea. But I want to share with you something a little bit deeper. The Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh says something amazing. And he quotes, actually I'm going to go out of order. Take a look at number 5. He says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu mevakish manos umatanos mikol ish kefi mashehu. The Baal Shem Tov says that the din of Mishloach Manos does not only apply to our fellow Jew, but the din of Mishloach Manos even applies to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Says the Baal Shem Tov, HaKadosh Baruch Hu mevakish manos umatanos mikol ish kefi mashu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to give Him gifts, each of us, in accordance with our abilities. The eskol kochos of yakriv laHaKadosh Baruch Hu hanikra re'ehu. Take your strengths, take your abilities, and give them to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who's called your fellow as well. What does this mean? The Baal Shem Tov is saying something so beautiful. The Megillah says, U'mishloach manos ish l're'ehu. And a person should send shalach manos, one person, to their fellow, to their friend. Take a look at number 2. Shlomo HaMelech writes in Mishlei, Re'acha v're'a avicha al tazov. Shlomo writes so beautifully, your friend, your father's friend, do not forsake. Who is my friend, who's also the friend of my father, writes Rashi in number 4, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shenikra Re'a LeYisharim. The Ribono Shel Olam is called the best friend. Shlomo HaMelech says, do not forsake your friend and the friend. You know, friends come and go. We all know this. Friendships are formed, friendships fray. The best friend of today is not necessarily even someone you converse with tomorrow. Zohi darko shel human relationships, right? That's the way it works with people. Relationships come and go. But there is one relationship in this world that is a constant. There is one relationship in this world that is unwavering. There is one relationship in this world which never changes. And that is the relationship we have with the Ribono Shel Olam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always by our side. And He always loves us. Not only does He always love us, human relationships. You know, we like to say that we love people unconditionally. I have a little secret for you, which is, it's not true. We don't love anyone unconditionally. Parents even say they love their children unconditionally. But that's actually not true. Because if you think, in the darkest recesses of your imagination, there are things that children could do that would make parents stop loving them. It's absolutely true. It's ma'asim b'chol yom. There is no such thing as unconditional love in the realm of human relationships. No, marriages are certainly not like that. Parents and children are not like that. Siblings are not like that. Friends are not like that. There is only one relationship that harnesses the power of unconditional love in this world. And that is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Ribono Shel Olam loves us no matter what we do or what we don't do. And even in the event that I make some horrific life decisions, HaKadosh Baruch Hu always says, it's okay, just come back and we will work it out. Says Shlomo HaMelech, Re'acha v're'a avicha al tazov. There's one friend in your life. He's your friend. He was your father's friend. He was your grandfather's friend. And he was the friend of everyone in your past, in your previous generations. And says Rashi HaKadosh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He is the best of friends. Take a look at number 3. The Mesudas David writes, Re'acha ha'oiv oscha. This friend loves you. And he loves you unconditionally. The Gamis Avicha Ahav, he loved your father as well. And after you see how much he loves you, make sure you do not forsake that love. Says the Baal Shem Tov, based on this pasuk, something absolutely amazing. Mishloach manos ish l're'ehu. Mishloach manos ish l're'ehu. On Purim you have to send shalach manos from one person to his friend. So up until now, we've always understood this halach on the most basic level, which is, I have to send shalach manos to another person, right? Two food items to another person. That's my halacha. Says the Baal Shem Tov, there's another dimension of mishloach manos. Mishloach manos, you have to give gifts. You have to give portions, l're'ehu, to your friend, to your best of friends, to your most important of friends. And who is that? To HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That on Purim, not only is there an obligation to give shalach manos to our fellow Jews, but there's an obligation to give shalach manos to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And of course, now you understand the fundamental question we have to grapple with. I can give you hamantashen, right? I can give you a cake, I can give you a bottle of wine, you could give me your beautifully made thematic shalach manos, right? We could exchange shalach manos, right? That's fine. But what do you give to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? What kind of shalach manos could a mere mortal give to the Ribono Shel Olam? And now, amazingly enough, in this piece by the Baal Shem Tov, he doesn't really expound on it. He just says, on Purim, you have to give shalach manos to Hashem. So I'd like to try to explore a little bit this morning, what are some of the shalach manos that we could give to the Ribono Shel Olam? And I'd like to start using as a springboard a halacha. If you take a look at the Shulchan Aruch in number 6, the Shulchan Aruch writes, in the halachos of shalach manos, chayiv l'shalach l'chavero, shtei manos basar, shtei ochon. By the way, I also want to tell you something that's actually sometimes a very misunderstood halacha by mishloach manos. The Shulchan Aruch says you have to give two foods, right? Two foods to a person. They do not have to be two separate brachos. This often people assume that two foods means two brachos. It could be two foods of the same brachos. In fact, if you look at the Shulchan Aruch example, shtei manos basar means two portions of meat. Or two different kinds of food. So again, there is this idea that you can go ahead and give, it just has to be two items. Shene emar, umishloach manos ish l're'ehu, shtei manos li'ish echad. How do you fulfill the mitzvah of shalach manos? Two food items, it has to be two distinct food items, or a food and a drink, right, food and a drink, to one person. That is the mitzvah of mishloach manos. Using this model, if we're obligated to give mishloach manos to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then it's telling us what? It's not just enough to give HaKadosh Baruch Hu one thing, but to fulfill the mitzvah of mishloach manos, you have to give the Ribono Shel Olam two things. Two things to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But how do you give mishloach manos, right? What kind of gift do you give to the God who has it all? What kind of Mishalach Manas can you give to HaKadosh Baruch Hu who possesses everything? So take a look at number 7. There's an incredible Gemara in Maseches Megillah. We've looked at this Gemara before in other contexts, in other previous Purim Shiurim. Amar Rava, Mechayiv Inish Levasume Bepurya Adilo Yada Bein Araham Labarach Mordechai. A person is obligated. Livasumi. Livasumi means to become fragrant. But of course, we know it means to become inebriated on Purim until he doesn't know the difference between cursed is Haman and blessed is Mordechai. The Gemara then tells a story, an interesting story. Rab and Rabbi Zera of the Sudas Purim Bahadi Adadi. One year, Rab and Rabbi Zera made their Purim Suda together. Ifsum, they got drunk. Kam Rabba Shachte l'Rabbi Zera. It's a wild story. Rabba got drunk, he got up, and he killed Rabbi Zera. Now, some of the commentaries point out, it doesn't necessarily mean he killed him. I mean, maybe that he made him drink so much to the point that he got alcohol poisoning. It doesn't have to mean that he actually, chas v'shalom, killed him. Either way, it wasn't good. L'mochar b'ayrachni v'achye, the next day, when the effects of the alcohol wore off Rabba, he davened, and Rabbi Zera was brought back to life. L'shana, next year, Amrale Nesi Mavin of Sudas Purim Baal Adadi. So Rabba goes over to Rabbi Zera, hey, I have a great idea. Let's make Purim Su'udah together. Right? I guess he didn't remember the previous year. Right? Let's make Purim Su'udah together. Here Rabbi Zera says, Amrale Lo Bechol Shaita V'Shaita Misrachesh Nisa. Essentially, no thank you. I've made alternate plans already. I appreciate it. Miracles don't happen at all times. And the truth is, leaving the cute story aside, this halacha, and that's the way it's phrased, mechayiv means you're obligated, this halacha, this concept, is exceptionally bizarre in Judaism. Judaism is a religion of moderation. Judaism, like the Rambam says, is all about founding the derech hamamutza, the middle path. Now, of course, the challenge in life is everyone has a different version of the middle path. That's true. That's where a little bit of confusion sometimes comes about. But nevertheless, Judaism is a religion of moderation. We do not believe in extremism in any way, in anything. There are a couple of things where the Rambam discusses about being a bit more of an extremist, like when it comes to kas, when it comes to anger, destructive midos like that. So you have to totally eradicate it. But most times, we're all about finding the middle path with things, the derech hamamutza. And here the halacha is telling me to do what? To actively engage in excess. Actively engage in excess. To the point, ultimately, of what? Of drinking to the point that a person doesn't know the difference between cursed is Haman and blessed is Mordechai. Now again, what's Judaism's feeling on alcohol? Positive, right? Positive, right? It's fine, but this is actually exceptionally important because this is an incredible yesod in parenting as well. How the most incredible thing we could teach our children is moderation. Every parent knows if you say absolutely not, right? That sparks the child's imagination to say, let me figure out how to do it. Everything is about that. Obviously, certain things, not at all. But many things. So Judaism's view on alcohol, moderation. Moderation. There's wine for Kiddush. Right? There's wine, there's a mitzvah of simcha on Yom Tov. We're supposed to drink wine on Yom Tov. There's not a life cycle event that we have that doesn't include wine. Right? I'll tell you something interesting. We don't do this practice anymore today, but the Gemara Maseches Moikotin brings down that after a levaya, when the mourners would come back to the Shiva home, the first thing they would give the mourners what they called a kos shel tanchumen, a cup of consolation. What was the cup of consolation? It was like lahavdil, like a big gulp of wine, right? I'm saying like it was a huge glass of wine. Why did they give the Avelim a huge glass of wine? Because alcohol could be exceptionally helpful for sometimes taking the edge off. Not to escape, but to some... So again, we don't have a life cycle event. Pretty much from Bris through Levaya and everything in between, there's alcohol. There's wine involved. Dalet kosos on Pesach. We want to celebrate our freedom. How do we celebrate freedom? 4 glasses of wine. But this is taking it to a new level. This, of course, becomes a new extreme of going ahead and drinking to the point that I don't endorse in Arahaman and Baruch Mordechai. Now, obviously, if Chazal are telling me to do this, and by the way, I'll even amplify the question a little bit more, which is 2 biblical examples of drunkenness. Number 1, Noach. Number 2, Lot. Neither story ends well, right? Noach goes ahead and something happens with his sons as a result of his drunkenness. Lot engages in two repeated nights of incest with his daughters. Obviously, again, for whatever reason, that's where the messianic line comes from, David HaMelech. So that's a whole mess in itself. But in any event, the two biblical stories we have of people drinking too much are not good stories. In fact, again, when Chazal speak about the danger of drunkenness, they say to make sure to avoid shechruso shel Lot. Don't get Lot drunk. What's Lot drunk? Lot drunk is so drunk that you don't know the difference between right and wrong. That's what happened to Lot. And yet here, Chazal are telling us, drink until you don't know the difference between cursed is Haman and blessed is Mordechai. There must be a message. There must be a meaning. And that's what they're going to explore together. Take a look at number 8 on your sheet. So I'm quoting from you over here, from the Chochmas Manoach. The Chochmas Manoach is a commentary on the Gemara, written by Rav Manoach ben Shemaria. So the truth is, there's very little biographical information available about him, except that he died in 1611. So the Chochmas Manoach says something that is dramatically amazing. I apologize that I didn't number the paragraphs, so we're going to start from the right one. Od Yishlomar, Dilemashal Nakde, Ad Shiyashlich Kol Adam Hakina Vahasina Sheishla Chaveiro Milibo Bepurim. What's the goal of Purim, says the Chochmas Manoach? This is incredible. What is the goal of Purim? The goal of Purim is to remove any animosity from your heart that you may feel about another Jew. That, if you want to know, you know, Rav Pam Zecher Tzadik Livracha used to say to the boys in yeshiva, how do you know if you've had a successful Purim? How do you know if you had a successful Purim? If you're early for davening the next morning. That's how you know if you had a if you're late for davening, that wasn't a successful Purim. If you're early for davening the next morning, that's a successful Purim. Chochmas Manoach says a little bit differently. How do you know if you have a successful Purim? Do you love every Jew? Do you love every single Jew? The job of the goal of Purim, the avoda of Purim, is to remove from my heart any amount of animosity or negativity that I may feel towards another person. Why? So he says Chochmas Manoach something amazing. Why do we dislike people? Right? Why is it that sometimes we just have difficulty getting along with people? And he says something amazing. Sometimes I don't like someone because they're my enemy. And a person hurt me. So sometimes I don't like a person because they hurt me. You know, not every situation can you be down the kaf sechus. Not every situation gets the benefit of that. Sometimes people do bad things. And they do bad things and they hurt me. They hurt me. It did something. I don't even mean chas shalom, like more extreme circumstances like abuse or chas v'shalom, horrible situations like that. That border on ritzicha, that border on murderous type of activity. That, not referring to that. Less extreme. Because sometimes people just hurt us. They just hurt us. They speak not nicely. They backstab. They hurt. They emotionally abuse in very negative ways. Says the Chochmas Manoach, v'zeu dugmas haman. Those are the Hamans I have in my life. All of us have Hamans in our lives. What was Haman in the Purim story? Haman was an individual who actively tried to hurt and did hurt the Jewish people. We all have our Hamans. These are the people who have mistreated us. These are the people who have taken advantage of us. These are the people who have backstabbed us. These are the people who didn't help when they could have helped. These are the people who kicked us when... Okay, you get the point. Right? These are the Hamans of life. And all of us have Hamans. But then says the Chochmas Manoach something amazing. Ulefamim, but there's another group of people in my life. Ulefam, adam mekane la adam lo machmas sha'aso imara, ela machmas sheroa etzlo bracha. But then there's another group of people that I don't like. Why don't I like them? Because I'm jealous of them. Now the truth is, most of us will never admit that we're jealous of someone. So instead, what we usually do is we concoct stuff. right? The human mind is an incredible tool. I'm never going to say I'm jealous of you because you have more money. Your children are all from. You have such a nice mishpacha. You have shalom bayis. I'm not going to say that because that sounds petty. So instead what we do is we concoct a variety of different reasons why I don't like you. But the reality, says the Chachmas Manoachas, there's a whole other group of people in my life who I don't like. They're my Mordechais. I don't like them because I feel they have it better than me. I feel they have more bracha than me. And the truth is, deep down, I actually don't understand why God has given them those brachos and hasn't given them to me. I'm better. And of course, more modest as well, right? I'm better. I'm more deserving. I'm nicer. I'm more pious. Those are my Mordechais. Says the Chachmas Manoach something amazing. Dugmas Mordechai, Shemachmas Gidulaso Kanubo Kitzas. Because of Mordechai's newfound greatness, people became jealous of him. You know, one of the most astonishing statements in the Megillah is at the end of the Megillah says, Mordechai Ratzui L'Rov Echav. Mordechai was beloved by the majority of his brethren. Now, the truth is, when you read that pasuk, your first reaction is, that's excellent for a Jewish leader, right? That is incredible to be in Jewish communal service and be liked by the majority of your constituents. That's incredible. Moshe Rabbeinu could not get those approval ratings when he was alive, right? Moshe didn't get Ratzei the Rav. When he died, everybody loved him. But when he was alive, he did not get these approval ratings. Mordechai's got the Rav. The reason why it's overwhelmingly astonishing is because that statement is made right after the incredible miracle of Purim. So we would have figured that Mordechai would get what? Right? A honeymoon period. Right? A honeymoon where everybody loves him. Okay, give it a month. Give it 6 months. Give it a year. They'll be back to complaining about him. But a little bit of a honeymoon period where everybody loves him. But no. Even immediately in the aftermath of the Purim story, Mordechai Ratzui L'Rov Echav, he's beloved by the majority. Now, understand, if the Megillah singles out the majority, what does that mean? That means it wasn't a majority of like 95% to 5%. Because in halacha, right, in Judaism, if you're 95%, if you're 85%, if you're 80%, if you're 75%, we count that like everything. When it says Mordechai Ratzei L'Rov Echav Rov means what? 51%. 51, 52, 53, 60. But it means, more importantly, that there was a significant minority who did not like him. A significant minority who did not like Mordechai. And you read this and you wonder to yourself, I Pasha can't understand. What could Mordechai have done to have alienated such a significant minority? The man was selfless. The man put himself in harm's way. According to at least one interpretation of Chazal, the man has to go to work for a king who's married to Mordechai's former wife. And yet, again, he stays in that position to serve the needs and to look out for the needs of the Jewish community. A selfless individual who sacrificed and gave up much. And yet he's only beloved by the majority. There's a significant minority who doesn't like him. So the Mefarshim, by the way, give a variety of different answers. But if you look to Chochmas Manoachi, writes, this is still in the right-hand paragraph, about six lines up from the bottom. Uperish Ibn Ezra, ki ein yecholes ba'adam l'ratzos hakol. Get ready for this statement. First of all, this first statement is incredible in and of itself. The Ibn Ezra says, you can't make everyone happy. So that's the first thing. So just as an aside, even if you just came for this, it's worth it for that. You should make it into a bumper sticker. Right? This is incredibly important because many of us spend our lives trying to make people happy. You can't spend your life making people happy for one simple reason, which is it doesn't work. You have to spend your life doing something good. You have to spend your life doing something meaningful. You have to spend your life serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu and serving the needs of your people. That is a sacred, hallowed life. Some people will like you. Some people will dislike you. That's just the way of the world. But people who spend their lives trying to be liked and yearning for approbation and admiration usually end up very frustrated, because people will always find a reason not to like you. So says the Ibn Ezra, they didn't like Mordechai, number one, because no one likes all leaders in general. No leader has 100%. You know, there's a famous statement of the Chassam Sofer. The Chassam Sofer was once talking to a group of Rabbanim, and he said, if all of your balabatim, if all of your congregants like you, it means you're not doing your job. If none of your congregants like you, it means that you're not a mensch. Any time that you occupy a position in leadership, there's always going to be someone who doesn't like you for something. But then the Ibn Ezra goes on and he says, V'hu be'emes shel kinu rak ba'avur gidulaso. Ba'avur gidulaso shari lo asa shum ra. So what happened? Says the Ibn Ezra, it's very simple. People were jealous. People were jealous. They were jealous of Mordechai. Why were they jealous of Mordechai? They were jealous because at the end of the day, he had power, he had fame, he had influence, and they did not. Remember again, this was a first generation of exiles. These were the Greeners, right? They were in Babel, they were in Babylonia, they remembered the Beis HaMikdash. They were outcasts, they were on the periphery of society, and now one of their own made it, and not just made it, but made it big. Says the Ibn Ezra, a significant minority of the Jewish people were jealous of Mordechai. No one's ever going to say, I'm jealous, because if you say you're jealous, how does it sound? Petty, right? So I'm never going to say, I'm jealous of you because you have more money, more fame, more accomplishments than me. So instead, I'll dislike you for some other reason. Whatever the reason is, they concoct the reason. Says the Ibn Ezra, at the end of the day, they were jealous of him. He goes on, he says, skip to the left-hand paragraph. See, he says, skip a few lines down. So listen to this. So says the Chacham HaSanah, something amazing. All of us, and he says all of us, have these two categories of people in our lives. Our Hamans and our Mordechais. Our Hamans are the people that we don't like because they've hurt us. They've hurt us. Maybe they've apologized, maybe they haven't apologized. It doesn't matter. They hurt me. They took advantage of me. They compromised me. And therefore I dislike my Hamans. And then there are the Mordechais. The Mordechais are the people who, and honestly, I'm jealous of. I feel I should have what they have. Or at least if I'm not going to have it, then what? Right, no one ever likes to articulate this. But at least if we're not going to have it, you shouldn't have it either. Because you don't deserve it. You haven't earned it. Those are the Mordechais. And says the Chacham HaSanah, all of us struggle with these two types of relationships. The Hamans and the Mordechais in life. The people I dislike because they hurt me. The people I dislike because I'm jealous of them. And says the Chacham HaSanah something amazing. Look in the left-hand paragraph, right after the period. 2, 4, 5 lines in. Middle of the line. V'hinei. Ha'achila v'ashtia sh'ochlim kitzas b'nei adam ze'im ze'. Mekarev ha'levavos u'mosef ha'ava b'neis. Listen to this. Says the Chacham HaSanah, what is our avoda on Purim? Our avoda on Purim is to feel a sweeping sense of love for every single Jew. For every single Jew. But who's included in that every single Jew? My Hamans and my Mordechais. I have to find it in my heart to even love the people, bless you, who have mistreated me. And I have to find it in my heart to love the people whom I am jealous of. Whatever my mechanism for working through these things, I have to go ahead and feel love. Now, I want to be clear on something. This doesn't mean I have to engage them. This doesn't mean I have to go talk to them. This is something that is happening inside of me. Do you know that most of the solutions, the majority of the solutions to our life problems, all take place inside of us? Because the majority of the, I should say, most solutions in life come from a paradigm shift, come from a focus shift, come from looking at yourself, looking at life, and looking at others differently. Says the Chacham HaSanah, the avoda of Purim is to reconcile in your heart with your Hamans and with your Mordechais. It's quite possible that your Hamans are not going to go ahead and start showing up at your doorstep on Purim asking you for forgiveness. In fact, a lot of times, the Hamans in life never own, never acknowledge, and never take responsibility for the hurt that they have visited upon me. The Mordechais in my life, don't even know I don't like them, because there's no reason for me not to like them. There's something happening in me. I feel inferior. I feel I don't measure up. I feel inadequate, and I'm projecting that onto someone else. Says the Chochmas Manoach, the Avoda of Purim is to feel an overwhelming sense, a wave, a tidal wave of love for every single Jew. You know, sometimes when we think about loving every Jew, so in our mind's eye, who do we often think about? Let's be honest, we're amongst friends. Who do we think about? I have Abigishal of every Jew. So who is that usually referring to? Okay, like us. See, I often think that people think that it refers really to Jews who are like on the other end of the spectrum from me. Right? All the way like religiously on the other end of everything. It's easy to feel a sense of love for people who are on the other end of the spectrum and other end of the world from you. Why? Because you don't have to interact with them, right? You don't have to do anything with you. So of course I could love you if I don't have to talk to you. I could love, yes, I love every Jew. Do you know that the Avod of Avas Yisrael, says the Chachmas Manoach, is not for the people who are on the other side of the world. It's the person next door who hurt your feelings. You have to feel a sense of love for them also. It's the Mordechai who's in your community or you're jealous of because you feel they have more bracha than you. Says the Chachmas Manoach, that is the Avoda of Purim. To feel a tidal wave of love for every Jew. And even for those people who you think may not deserve it. Why does the Haman in my life, why does that Haman deserve my love? See, you want to know the real answer to that? He may or may not deserve your love, but if you give your Haman your love, you become a better person. You unshackle yourself from the stuff that holds you back. You let go of the negativity and you move on to go on and accomplish great things. Sometimes you love your fellow Jew, not because they need your love, but because you are uplifted through loving them. It says the Chachmas Manoach, but Chazal understood that what? Sometimes it's hard to love unlovable people, right? Sometimes it's hard to love the Hamans and it's hard to love the Mordechais. So what did Chazal say? What do you do? What? Make a lechayim. Or 10. Right? And you know the amazing part about a glass of wine? A glass of wine does a lot. Everyone looks more beautiful after a glass of wine. Right? Everyone is special. Everyone is wonderful. And somehow, again, with a little bit of wine, or a lot of wine, ultimately, again, those walls come down. I feel more at ease with myself, and therefore feel more at ease to love someone else who I've always kept at a distance. That, says the Chochmas Manoach, is the meaning of the Gemara. Chazal can never be telling us to drink till I don't know the difference between cursed is Haman and blessed is Mordechai. Because that sounds like lot drunk. Till I don't know the difference between right and wrong. No. Chayiv inish levasumi bepuri adilo yada bein arur Haman lebarach Mordechai means drink until you love every Jew the same, including those Hamans who you curse and those Mordechais who you don't like. Drink if you have to. Till you get to the point where you could sit at your table on Purim and you could close your eyes and you could say, Hinani Muchan Umezuman, to say, I could say that I love every single Jew. In this moment, now sometimes it wears off afterwards, and that's why Purim comes every year, but at least in this moment, I could honestly say that I love every single member of Am Yisrael, even my Hamans, and even my Mordechais. And I'll tell you something amazing. If you think about this for just a moment, this is part of the Yom Kippur Purim connection as well. What's the first tefillah, the first prayer we recite on Yom Kippur? Kol Nidre. And what do we say in Kol Nidre? Right? We say, Bi Yeshiva Shalmato, Bi Yeshiva Shalmato, Anu Matirim, Lispalelim Avaryanim. We permit ourselves to daven with Avaryanim means the sinners. The sinners. So who are the sinners? So sometimes I say this in shul, I'm thinking this, yeah, that's you, by the way, right? I know, I'm so happy this is in there, right? Because Chaim Yankel, wow, he really had a bad year. I saw him, you know what? It's okay, I'm good. But Hashem Baruch Hu is permitting me to daven with you, right? You're the Avaryanim. Who are the Avaryanim? Who are the sinners? And here again, the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh says something amazing. The Avaryanim are the people who hurt me throughout the year. They're the people who hurt me
Anu matirim lehispalel im ha'avaryanim. Tonight I'm going to come to shul, and I'm going to be together with my kehila, and I'm going to be together with my people, even though three rows back, you hurt me really badly. Four rows forward, you took advantage of me. Three rows to the side, you didn't help me when you could. You hurt me. But tonight, I'm going to come and I'm going to daven with you. Why? Because the great secret of Yiddishkeit is, you can only get so close to God when you're going at it alone. If you want true closeness, true dveikus to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you need to go hand in hand with your fellow Jews. When you go at it by yourself, you could come close to God, but there's a glass ceiling as to how far you can get on your own. But when you become part, or when you go before God as part of Am Yisrael, there's absolutely no limit to where you can get to. You could come as close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You can get as close to the Kisei HaKavod. So on Kol Nidre, on Yom Kippur, when our goal is to establish an incredible dveikus, an incredible connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what's the first step? I haven't even said I'm sorry yet. Right? Remember, it's Yom Kippur. I haven't even said even one Hashamnu, one this. Nothing. What's the first thing I do on Yom Kippur? The first thing? I forgive you. You didn't ask me. You didn't come. I was waiting for you the whole day. I was sitting by the table looking at the door, waiting for you to come and beg my forgiveness for the things you did against me this year. You never came. It's okay. Even though you didn't come, that's between you and God. I forgive you. Anu matirim lehispalel im ha'avaryanim. I forgive you. Because the truth is, we could only go together. It's only if you're with me and I'm with you that we could come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the Yom Kippurim. Where does Yom Kippur get that from? In some strange way, Yom Kippur gets that from Purim. Two polar opposite ideas, but the same dynamic. At Kol Nidre, I take upon myself in that tefillah to love every Jew. I'm going to allow myself to daven with you, even though 5 minutes ago I didn't like you. But now an overwhelming sense of love has swept over me. I love everyone. Let's go daven together. On Purim, I'm going to drink to as much as I need to in order to love you. A lot, a little, whatever it takes is what I'm going to drink in order to love you. Mechayiv inish levasumi bepuria adlo yada bein ar haman lebarach Mordechai. The goal is drink as much as you need until you could love your Hamans, until you could love your Mordechais. And the truth is, this idea, and this, so to kind of link this back, so what type of beautiful shalachmanis do you give to the God who has it all? The greatest gift you could give to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the greatest shalachmanis, is Avas Yisrael. But remember again, their shalachmanis has to be comprised of two items. What are the two items you have to give to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? A love for one Haman and a love for one Mordechai. The avoda on Purim, the shalachmanis, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't need my hamantashen, he doesn't need my ragalach, he doesn't even need my home-baked challahs. He'll be happy if we share that with each other. What does every parent want more than anything? What does every single parent say to their child? What's the same parental speech that happens in every single home at some point in time, just varying frequencies, which is, the most important thing to me is that you get along with your siblings. That you cause trouble, you get sent home from school, you get this, it's not okay, we'll deal with that also. But the most important things, and by the way, parents who don't give that speech enough to their children when they're young end up regretting it in their old age and the family splinters apart. It's something we have to, on a chinuch level, reinforce over and over and over. I'm a big believer, you have to cut your kids a lot of slack, right? It's difficult to be a kid these days. They grow up with so many different pressures and expectations and pushes and pulls. But the one thing that there has to be zero tolerance for is sinas chinam in the home. There's no place for siblings mistreating each other. No place. There has to be the one thing you want to be a stickler about something, be a stickler about shalom bayis in your family. Because that's where children first learn the concept of avas Yisrael. Avas Yisrael starts at home. Getting along with your brother, getting along with your sister, husband and wife getting along. This is avas Yisrael. So what's the shalachmanas that you package up and send up heavenward? It's chayiv inish levasumei bepuria adlo yada bein ar haman lebarach Mordechai. The Ribono Shel Olam sits on his celestial throne on the entire day of Purim, and he waits. And what does he wait for? He wants us each to give him a Haman who I hated yesterday, who I love today. Or Mordechai, who I disliked yesterday, and I love today. And Kadosh Baruch Hu says to us, thank you for the beautiful Shalach Manas. That is the greatest gift we could give to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A tidal wave of Avas Yisrael. A genuine releasing of hatred and animosity that we may feel towards others. Even if they deserve it. But to let go of that hate. To let go of that anger. And to replace it with active love. And I want to be clear. Is it beautiful to take Shalach Manas to someone whom you have a frayed relationship with? Absolutely. But we all of us, sometimes those are complicated situations. And sometimes it's not so pashut just to show up at someone's home when there's been a lot of rocky road in the relationship. And I don't mean the ice cream, right? You understand that sometimes it's difficult. And that's not what the halacha demands of us. The halacha demands of a process that unfolds in here. This is a process that unfolds in my heart. Release the animosity, release the pain, release the anger, and replace it with a genuine Avas Yisrael. You know, if you go to Tzfat, you could see the grave of the Ari HaKadosh. And I put a little picture over here on the sheet for you. So the Ari left a tzava. He left a command that on his matzev, on his gravestone, he did not want any descriptions of his great stature as a scholar or anything else. This was the inscription he wanted. So look what's written over here. Ari HaKadosh, pri divrei Arizal, tov lekabel alav lehov kol adam Yisrael lifnei atfila. It is good to go ahead and take upon yourself to love every Jew before davening. Before davening, a person should take upon themselves the mitzvah to love every Jew. And the Ari says, and by the way, this, you'll find this, and I don't know why, for some reason, this is not printed in Nusach Ashkenaz Sidurim. I don't understand why. I don't understand why. In Nusach Sfarad Sidurim, and Nusach Ari, everything except Nusach Ashkenaz, you'll find it in there. And the Ari says, before you daven, you have to say the following. Hareini mekabel alai mitzvas aseisha v'yahavta l'reacha kamocha. I hereby accept upon myself the positive commandment to love every Jew. V'hareini ohev es kol echa mibnei Yisrael kinafshi umoadi. And I hereby love every single Jew like my own heart. With all of my heart. And with all. So the Ari said, you have to say this before you daven in the morning. Why? Because it's the same idea. On Yom Kippur, I can't come close to God unless I say, right, im kol avaryonim. On Purim, I can only come close to God if I love my Hamans and I love my Mordechais. And says the Ari, you want to have a meaningful and impactful tefillah experience? It's going to be only so good if you go at it by yourself. But if you take upon yourself before you daven to love every single Jew, then when you daven, you're not only going by yourself, but you're going together with all of Am Yisrael. And the incredible part about this is true whether you're davening in shul, or you're davening at home in your kitchen in the morning. This is not a function of being together with a group for davening. When you take upon yourself, says the Ari, Harini mekabel alai mitzvas aseisha v'yahavtel re'acha kamocha. Suddenly you're not davening as an individual, but suddenly you're davening as part of Am Yisrael. I'll end off with one last piece. A beautiful, beautiful maisa. You know, the great tzaddik of Yerushalayim, Rav Aryeh Levin, Zecher Tzaddik Livracha, was known for his incredible Avas Yisrael. So there's a story that's told that one time, Rav Aryeh Levin was walking on Shabbos, and he spotted out of the corner of his eye a young man who had grown up in his neighborhood. And Rav Aryeh went to walk towards the young man, and he noticed that the young man picked up his pace, and started walking away. So Rabbi Levin started running after him, and he finally caught up with him. He said, "I don't understand. Whatever the boy's name is, why are you running away?" And the boy became all red, and he said, "Rabbi, you know, I have to tell you that, you know, since I grew up in the neighborhood, I left the neighborhood. I'm really not observant anymore. I left the whole Judaism thing. It's not for me. I'm not angry. I'm not upset. It's just not for me. And I'm not wearing a yarmulke. And so I was embarrassed to see you without a yarmulke." And Rabbi Levin takes the boy's hands in his own. He looks into his eyes. He says, "My precious child, I am a very short man." Rabbi Levin was very short. He said, "I can't see what's on top of your head. I could only see what's in your heart. So you want to know the true way we come to Avas Yisrael is if we stop looking at what's on everybody's head and we stop looking at all of the external trappings and we start looking into each other's hearts. Because one thing I can guarantee you, there is no Jewish heart that is not filled with holiness. There is no Jewish heart that is absent of incredible Kiddusha. There is no Jewish heart that isn't brimming with potential. Some of us actualize it, some of us don't. Some of us access our holiness, some of us don't. But at the end of the day, there is no such thing as a Jew who doesn't have Kiddusha, who doesn't have holiness. We just get sometimes so caught up in all of the other stuff that we're looking at everything but the heart. We're looking at every single other aspect of this person but their heart. Purim is the time when we stop looking at heads and we start looking at hearts. Purim is the time where we love our Hamans and we love our Achashverosh, and our Mordechais. Purim is the time that we have to send Shalachmanas not just to each other, but to send Shalachmanas to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the avod of Purim. And you know, Purim is a very hectic day for many of us, running all around. And it's a crazy day. But I think it's so important that maybe it means just getting up a little bit earlier in the morning before life gets a little bit frantic. And take a few moments by yourself and identify for yourself, who are my Hamans? Who are my Mordechais? And identify them. Identify them. And then you'll keep this piece of paper and you'll look at the Maseva of the Ari and you'll say these words, Harini mekabel alai mitzvas asei shalvia hafta lere'acha kamocha. My Hamans and my Mordechais, you can't hear me, but your souls hear me. I love you. I forgive you. I want to daven with you because we all want to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I forgive you and I let go of it and I love you even before I started drinking because I need to send my Mishloach Manos to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is Purim. You know, Purim is only a partial geula. That's why we don't say halal on Purim. We don't say halal because at the end of the day, at the aftermath of the Purim story, we are still subjects to a tyrannical king by the name of Achashverosh. We're not a free people. We haven't been redeemed. We didn't go back to Eretz Yisrael. Purim is only a partial redemption. And maybe, maybe, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is just waiting for is to see that, you know, sometimes when you're out for a little bit of time on Purim, and if you're lucky, you come back. Not everybody has this, but some people are zochitav, so you come back and you find some shalachmanas by your door. And you know, even before you see it, it sends such a warm feeling through your heart. That there are people out there who care. And you may have to make sure to do that for other people also. I truly believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is waiting on Purim Day, that when he walks kiviyachal to his kisei hakavod, that he shouldn't be able to mount the celestial throne. Why? Because the entranceway to the kisei hakavod is mamish blocked by all of the Mishloach Manos of Klal Yisrael. Can you imagine what we would do in Shamayim if we blocked the Ribbono Shel Olam from getting to his Kisei HaKavod because there's so many Shalach Manos from all of his beautiful children? Then perhaps the day which begins as a partial Geula could Amir Hashem end with the complete Geula of Mashiach M'hira B'Yameinu. Amen.